as we explore the fascinating world of metaphysics. We discuss such topics as dreams, reincarnation, astrology, and much, much more. Once again, that's Metaphysically Speaking, every third Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. only on WHFR.FM, the station that is truly making waves.
Hear the excitement. Come hear the music. Come hear Belle Isle. Saturday, August 28th from 1 to 7 p.m. Come to the Remick Music Shell on Belle Isle to hear some of the hottest bands from Detroit and around the state. Like the Sights, the High Straw, the Maunder Minimum, Champions of Breakfast, Chris Bathgate, Loon, Dupe, and the Inside Outlaws, Copper Thieves, and more. Proceeds from the event will go to the restoration and preservation of America's largest city island park, Belle Isle. Plus, learn how you can get involved with your community. Nonprofits from all over Detroit will be showcasing ways to get involved in their organizations. Listen to great music. Help preserve Belle Isle. Rediscover Detroit. And get involved with your community. Saturday, August 28th from 1 to 7 p.m. at the Remick Music Shell on Belle Isle. For more information, visit facebook.com/comehearbelleisle or visit our partners, the Friends of Belle Isle at fobi.org.
Hey, WHFR listeners, I'm Dennis.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we're your hosts for a new talk show here at Henry Ford Community College called HFCC's Campus Connection.
That's right. From 1 to 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month, Dennis and I will cover the news, issues, and events here on the campus of HFCC and talk about how they relate to the surrounding communities.
Basically, we bring you all the news we think you want to know about our college and our station, WHFR.
We talk about the fantastic restaurant we have right here on campus.
And upcoming performances of HFCC plays and musicals.
We'll even keep you posted on the success of our various sports teams.
In fact, we fill you in on all of the campus activities open to the public, many of them absolutely free.
So when it comes to Henry Ford Community College news,
make the connection.
The HFCC Campus Connection. On 89.3 FM from 1 to 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month.
That's WHFR.FM.
The station making waves.
Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Camille Procaccini. She is a professional clairvoyant and certified hypnotherapist. Good afternoon, Camille. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you?
I'm feeling very good right now.
Good.
Yes, well, it all helps. Okay, first of all, professional clairvoyant. How long have you been a professional clairvoyant?
Professionally, I've done it for 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's how I make my living. But I've been clairvoyant since I was 5.
Oh, really?
Yep. How I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, did you do readings for your family? I mean, you didn't know it at the time, but as you grew up, would you, you know, mention things to your family and things that would come true?
Oh, yes, definitely. And mostly with my friends, because my family, I'm from a very large family, 10 mm-hmm. kids, and we were all running every which way. So a lot of times your family doesn't want to hear what you have to say just in general. So I would talk with my friends, tell my friends certain things. I'd know, like a friend of mine's grandma was really sick and I knew she was going to die. And when you're 5, it's scary. When you're 10, it's scary. I mean, it doesn't matter when. But yeah, so I would tell my friends things, and then they would come true. But mm-hmm. the sad thing is sometimes people think that you're a know-it-all, or they say, oh, you think you know everything. So then you don't want to tell them anything.
Right. So sometimes you be quiet instead of actually being truthful and helpful for these people?
Oh, most definitely. Most mm-hmm. definitely. I'll always be truthful.
Right.
But I just will watch when I say it.
Well, I would imagine a family setting too, when you're a young child, you know, it's like you said, you know, who are you, you know, why are you saying this, you know, and you think you know it all? That would come into play, I would imagine.
Exactly.
Right. So, how big is your family?
I'm the oldest of 10 children.
Oh, okay.
9 girls, 1 boy.
Yeah, so you were in charge for the most part?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you're the firstborn, right?
That's right. It's your job to make sure that whatever's supposed to be done is done.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so.
Not the best placement for right. family members sometimes.
Right. Well, again, it's a lot of stress sometimes, too, for a young child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you've been doing it professionally now for 20 years.
Yes.
Why did you decide to go professional? What made you think that I can really make a living out of this? And what prompted you to do so?
Well, I had been working for a scientific community, and they had put on my computer the doctors in. And so people would come and they'd sit next to my computer and they'd flip the sign up and then they'd want to talk. So they know I'd be giving them some information. And one day my boss said to me, "We really do know what you should be doing, Camille, and it's not an administrative assistant here. You need to be helping people." He wanted to know if there was a way that he could help me do what it is I wanted to do. And I got nervous because I was thinking, is he going to fire me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I needed a job. Let's face it. Everybody does. So he said, "Think about it. I'll be gone a month." And I said, "All right, well, that's great." And I went and saw two women, business women that I trusted, and said, "Okay, do you think I can do this?" And we sat down and we did the math. And of course, we know math always works.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured out that I'd only have to work maybe 4 hours a week to make the same amount of money I was working 60 hours a week. So that kind of math is very exciting, really.
Yes, that's a very good trade-off right there. You know, that can excite anybody.
Exactly. So I said, all right. And when he came back, I had business cards already made up, and I said I was leaving. And then he panicked because he said, "What do you mean you're leaving me? We have a hiring freeze on." And I said, "Don't worry, I'll talk to the president. It'll be fine." So that's how I actually got started. I really didn't tell anyone in my family because there was a lot of skepticalness going on there. And I thought, well, I just don't need that energy in my space.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom called me 2 weeks after I had left my job and said, "Are you sick?" And I said, "No, I'm fine. Why?" And she said, "Well, I called your office and they said you were at home, honey." So I said, "Oh, well, I quit that job."
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
Surprise! Right? But it was kind of that was an interesting way to introduce it into my family.
Mm-hmm. Were you worried at all when you decided to do this? I mean, was it something where you were concerned, will I really make the money? Will it be there for me?
You know, no. Actually, it's the first time in my life that my gut didn't hurt. Like, if things were bad for me, I would know, my gut would start hurting, and I would know, don't go there, don't do it, don't take this job, I'd know all of that. And as soon as I made the commitment to do the work, I was at peace. It was the best thing ever, so I didn't really worry about it. And that was 20 years ago. I'm not worried about it now.
Mm-hmm. You haven't looked back since, right?
No, but I remember my dad saying to me, "Have you lost your mind?" And, you know, he's in management of business, so, you know, he's seen lots of people decide they're going to go off and do stuff. And mine was a little off on the edge, Mike, you know.
Oh, yes. Very much on the edge. I mean, that's definitely not a traditional way to make money.
No. No, it's still not, but it's great for me.
Yeah, works for you. I know, in addition to that, because you're a clairvoyant, you get to travel a lot as well. I mean, you go to different places and you give readings, right?
I do. People set it up, and so they'll call me and say, "You know, we got 14, 21 people. Can you fly in and do readings for 3 days?" So I go, "Oh, yes, I'd be delighted." So I'm on the plane and off I go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
Yeah, so they pay for your ticket?
Yeah,
and all that?
They do. Somebody puts me up in their home. Kindly do that. And I work out an arrangement where they get a reading for free. And then, so that is a motivator. And then they call all the people, they set all the appointments, I just show up and do the work and leave.
Mm-hmm. So where are the more exotic places you've been in regards to giving readings to different people?
You know, I've been to Canada, which is pretty exotic in and of itself.
Okay.
Just kidding. I love Canada, actually. I really spend most of my time in California. I just got back from Arkansas. I go to New York, North Carolina, just mostly all over the United States, really. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not spending that much time there, like I'm in, do the work, I'm out. Sometimes I get to have a little vacation. California, because I have family there, so I get to take a snippet of vacation. I read all over the world. Australia, Italy, Ireland, France.
Mm-hmm.
One time, when I read in France, one time I had to use an interpreter because she spoke no inglés.
Yeah, something you don't think about sometimes.
Right, you don't. You think, okay, yeah, great, I'll be glad to do a reading for you, mm-hmm. and then I'm thinking, hello, I don't speak French.
Right. So you actually travel to France and some of these other countries to do readings?
No. I've been, well, that's not a true statement. I have been in spaces where I've done it, but not intentionally gone to mm-hmm. do the readings there. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly open to it.
Right, yes.
Hello, Mike, if you know anybody, ring me up.
Yeah, right. Now, don't you use modern technology, though? What is it?
Skype. Skype, yes. I have Skype. And so for people all over the rest of the world, they can use Skype and actually get to see me. Mm-hmm. So they'll get to see me during the reading. But I've done readings before just over the phone. So that's mm-hmm. how people are used to me.
Now, how would somebody in France or some European country hear of you? I mean, is it just strictly word of mouth?
Absolutely. It's the most amazing thing for me. I've been totally blessed in the fact that, you know, lots of people have just heard of me word of mouth. So relatives that have come over here, you know, from the one came from Ireland, and then she said, I want you to read all my family in Ireland. So that's how it works. So mm-hmm. I'm really blessed in that. It's mm-hmm. great.
So you don't really have to advertise or anything like that?
No, but I do have a web page now so that people mm-hmm. know, and, you know, PayPal and all those things that help people out, you know.
Right.
So,
again, modern conveniences.
Yes, definitely. It makes it easier for people in the long run. So
mm-hmm.
I fought it for many, many years, Mike.
Yeah, but you finally succumbed. So,
I go,
you know.
Ooh, computers, no, please, God.
Right. So you're not a computer person, really?
No, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I know I'm not. A lot of older people, or more mature people, I should say, don't really like the computers, but it's one of those things about modern society that you have to get used to it one way or another.
You know? Right, and I think it's it is good, and it keeps you up to date, and it keeps your mind moving and growing in all kinds of ways. So.
Right, constantly learning, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you give a reading, what do? Do you use cards, or do you just let intuition enter into your body? I mean, how do you convey that?
Well, actually, I see spirit and hear spirit, so I actually hear a voice, and then I'll feel it through my body. So when I sit with a client, what will happen is we sit across from each other, I'll take their birth date, I do the numerology for them, and I'll explain what their birth number means, and then I'll explain what's going on in their life right now, and then I'm what I call downloaded, like a computer. Guidance comes in, gives me the information that I need to give to you. I have no way of knowing. I just write down everything and give you the notes when you leave. Mm-hmm. When you leave me, I won't be able to remember the reading, and very seldom do I remember you.
Mm-hmm. So you're actually writing down what you receive? You're not verbalizing it?
It down and verbalize at the same time, because most people can't remember, you know. Can you remember what you had for breakfast yesterday?
Yeah, it was a glazed donut. not that it's good,
we
and a cup of
talk.
Coffee. Yeah,
we
right.
need to talk, Mike.
I need to improve my diet, I know. But anyway, that's what it was. I remember those kind of
those
things.
Those kinds of things. But most people can't remember really important things. So
right.
I write them down. And I always tell the client, if you need me to write it down and I'm not writing, say, you said this, write it down. Because once it comes through me, you know, I'm a medium also, so I work with people on the other side that have crossed over. So once they start chatting with me, like, I get lost in space, so I don't really, I might mm-hmm. not write down as much as I would normally write if I'm not speaking with people on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And briefly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my very special guest is Camille Procaccini. She is a professional clairvoyant and certified hypnotherapist. Now, when you give a reading, is it something where you have to close your eyes or you have to be quiet or still for a few minutes before you start getting the information, or does it just come automatically to you?
What happens actually for me is I've prayed or meditated, whatever people call that, for about an hour before I actually do the work with a client. And my clients for the day. So mm-hmm. let's say I have four people. I do them back to back so my energy stays up. And I... when you sit with me, I will put the information. The birth date is actually how I go into your energy, mm-hmm. and then I just start listening, and I hear the voice that I hear, and I write everything down and explain what it means for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't really try to go too far in the past unless it's impacting this moment in your life, and I will go to the future and tell you what I see as far as not too far in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Now, the numerology, is that something done where you go through a person's life path, what they might be doing in a certain lifetime, or is it just to trigger something, just get the information about the birth date to trigger something so you can receive the information you need to?
Yeah, it actually just kind of hooks me into that soul's energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at what they're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at what they're supposed to learn this year. So I just do basic numerology. It's not like long, drawn out, involved. Hello. I have a short attention span theater. That's mm-hmm. it's like write it down, gone.
Right. So that works best, though. I mean, that would probably be very stressful if you, I guess, maintained and retained all the information that you're trying to tell a client.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, Mercywood is someplace in Ann Arbor that they commit people to if you're
really
trying to keep too much
mm-hmm.
information.
Right.
And so for me, it's this, I'm here to deliver messages to you, to give you the best information for you at this moment in time. Your life will change every 24 hours based on what you choose to do in your life.
Right.
You're always in control of your life. I don't have control over your life. I really don't want control over your life. Basically, I just do my stuff and I bless you all. I think it's great. You should be
yes.
having a happy life.
Right, and then just move on.
That's right.
Right.
If you're not, then you're not living in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're holding on to things from the past that are not for your highest good. They're not getting you to be where you need to be to create your future. So
mm-hmm.
basically, I'm trying to look at what's happening in your life and kind of put it in order is how I kind of feel it sometimes. Like, you might need to do this, 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 and this. I had an event recently where a man came to see me, and he said, "You read to me 7 years ago." And at the time, I told you that my son had MS. Now, his son was only 13, and usually MS is a disease that strikes a little later in life. Not, it doesn't mean that you can't get it, but it strikes later. He told me, and I'm repeating what he said to me because I don't remember the reading. He's telling me 7 years later
mm-hmm.
That I told him that it was imperative that he write a book. He write a book about the journey with his son, that it was a beautiful story, and it needed to be told for other people to have that connection between father and son and the experience of knowing that the child's going to pass and there's nothing that you can do. So he has now completed his book. He came to see me 2 weeks after his son crossed, and his son was kind enough to come in and talk to his dad through me. And so I feel he'll publish this book, and it'll be a bestseller.
Wow,
now,
that's
I
great.
Can't tell all people that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
I can't tell you, Mike, you're going to write a book today.
Right. Well,
I mean, you could, but...
Right. Again, though, something you touched on, it does depend on free will. I mean, you can tell a person what you receive, but they may choose to say, well, you know what, I'm going to do something totally different.
Exactly.
You know? Or there might be advice where you say, well, maybe you should think about doing something different. They say, no, I'm going to go ahead and do this, and perhaps it doesn't turn out as expected. But you can't really control things, like you say. You can only advise them and
It's not my job to control. It's my job to give you what I'm hearing your guidance say. It's not me, because honestly, I don't care what you do in your life. If you're happy and you're smiling and things are going happily down the road, that's great. But if they're not, there's a problem. You came to see me because there's a problem and you need information. And I'm willing to give that to you, but I ask that you have an open heart and mind when you receive the information. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a kind of interesting thing. And I just had another lady call me today. Now, I don't remember this conversation. She rang me up a few days ago and said she was having problems with this issue with this partnership. And I said to her, you're holding on to old things. You need to let it go. This is your problem. It's not these people's problem. But you're making it be gigantic and a drama. And so if you love drama, then you're in the middle of one fabulously at the moment. And I suggest you stop and think about what you're doing. Now, this is a younger soul, and so sometimes they get angry because it's not going their way and whatever. And so that was a few days ago. She calls me today. You know, I thought a lot about what you said. I said, really? And how'd that go? And she said, well, I shifted my thinking so that I was putting a blessing on the people, which is what I think we recommended at that time, and that it was imperative that if you wish these people well and wealth, that too shall come back to you. And so she said, so I thought about how I could create that wealth, doing it a different way, and she said, I'm so at peace today, and the money's coming. But when she was fighting it, you know, it's like running your head into the wall five times and turning to me and saying, hey, Camille, did you know the wall's not moving? And I go, yeah, Mike, load bearing, not going to move, you know. But do you see that door over there? Much easier exit.
Right. Just open it and everything
and
will
everything
be beautiful.
And everything will be beautiful. But people don't want to see that. They want to stay stuck in their little pod.
Right. But again, it's due to free will. Some people like that challenge or whatever to make life difficult, correct?
Oh, I'd say mm-hmm. there's a majority of the world that really thinks misery is a beautiful thing.
Right. And again, is that what they really want to embrace, even though they claim they don't want to?
Well, my personal opinion on it is many times you're receiving the attention you wish to get. And so I'll do it however I need to. Either I'll do it in a positive way or I'll do it in a negative way. So it doesn't matter as long as I'm getting the attention. So if you feed me with negative attention and I say, oh my, that's terrible, what are you going to do? And that feeds into your negativity and allows you to remain negative. If I just say to you, wow, what are you going to do, Mike? That's a different thing, because what I'm saying to you is, oh, the buck stops with you, buddy. You got to...
Right.
Change your life.
Yeah, right.
It's not my job.
Right.
It's not my job.
Right.
My job is to guide. My job is to give information, but it's not to control, and I don't need to. I don't want to remember your stuff. That's your personal stuff. You just need to move on. I have my own. I'm here to learn, too, just like everybody else.
Right.
And I'm learning every day. That's mm-hmm. a good thing.
Yes. Now, do you give readings to friends and family?
Yes, some friends. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an arrangement, though. It's a business deal, and the way that it's done is, it's just like anybody else. You pay me for the reading, because I found that when you give readings without taking the payment, they really don't want to listen. But if you've paid the big bucks, then this is what I'm going to tell
right.
you. Maybe I better pay attention.
Yeah, it's called incentive.
That's
right.
Right. And so if somebody's in need, I mean, definitely, if somebody, friends call me and they say, really, I need your help, Camille, can you help me? I'm not going to say, yeah, that'll be $800. No.
Right. Yeah. Payable up front, please. Thank you.
Yeah, could you charge that, please? Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I help people all the time, but it's just that I find that if you make it a business deal, because that's really what it is for me. Mm-hmm. It's my business.
Well, I was just wondering, though, with friends and family, obviously you have an emotional connection sometimes. Can you be objective in that situation?
Because, see, I'm downloaded every single day. I don't attach to you. It's not my job. Mm-hmm. Even if you're my family, I may see that it would be better if you did it a different way, but I still cannot get you. You know, I have children, and children do what they're going to do. They don't necessarily listen to their mom and dad.
You found that out?
Wow, it's shocking.
That's something new. I've never heard of that before.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just wanted to briefly remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Camille Procaccini. She is a professional clairvoyant and certified hypnotherapist. Now, how does being a certified hypnotherapist play into what you do?
I use hypnotherapy to help people go back and look at their past lives. So, because I believe in reincarnation, and not all people do, that's fine. But I really feel that you have a right to see what that's about and visit that if you choose to. So I hypnotize people to go back into their past lives. And some of the stories are hilarious. I mean, they do make me laugh. Because when it happens, they're like right there looking at it, and they're talking about it. It's not me telling them their past life. It's them seeing their past life and then explaining it to me. And it's a charge, boy. I tell you, it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, you probably hear all types of stories, though, with past life regressions, right?
Yeah, during past life regressions, oh my mm-hmm. goodness, they're amazing.
Right. Well, they can be very beneficial, though, sometimes more beneficial than, say, regular therapy,
yes.
something like that. They can cut through many problems by going back to a certain lifetime. Maybe they understand why they're doing what they're doing now, what they're experiencing
based
now.
Based on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of what happens is in the block of time that I usually do the session, I will take you back into approximately 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is I ask you to look at what the common thread is.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing that in each life is a repeat, or the people may be the same? And what is it you feel you need to do now? Mm-hmm. Then a lot of times we'll put a blessing on those people. And there was one, it was hilariously funny. The woman had a boss who was like over her shoulder, and would not leave her alone. And she was a mess, and she had worked for him for like 5 years. And so she decides to have the past life regression. And she sees that in the past life, during the times of the pioneers and whatever, that they were married to each other.
Oh, okay.
And first of all, that was fairly shocking to the young woman. But anyway.
Yeah, she probably was.
Yeah, she's looking, thinking, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And so when the time where, you know, they go off and hunt and they bring the meat back and then they'd store it for the winter. So he went away, but during that fall time where they were gathering, there was a huge rainstorm, and the house that they had built was close up. It backed up to like the side of a large hill, mountain kind of place, so that, you know, the air or, you know, the wind and stuff wouldn't be so bad. So the way they built it, so one side was covered. Well, there was a mudslide, buried the wife and the baby.
Hmm.
And so when the husband came back, they weren't there. So then he felt terrible because he didn't protect him. He couldn't take care of his family. He was devastated, whatever. And he runs off and dies in this past life. But after she went to work the next day, like she forgave him, because we talked about, I forgive you for not being there when my son and I needed you and whatever. It's a cellular memory for the souls. And so what happened is when she went to work the next day, her boss wasn't hovering. And she called me up and she said, weirdest thing, mm-hmm. weirdest thing. And all the people around the work noticed it. And they said, what happened? Did you tell him just go sit in his office and not do this ever again? And she said, no, I forgave him. And that's what it needed to be.
Right.
But I thought, how hilariously funny
right.
is that?
Well, it's interesting the way that works out. I mean, just to forgive somebody and what an immediate impact it can have. It's truly amazing.
It's huge. And you're thinking that it's past life you're forgiving them, but they remember that through cellular memory in right. this life. So right. in reincarnation, you come back with the soul and the spirit of the one that left, but not the same body.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be taller with blue eyes next time. Like,
oh, really? You've already put your order in? Okay. Well, I know some people have even gone into the future to divine what's going to happen to them. Have you done that as well?
I've read about it. I have okay. not actually done it. Mm-hmm. I find it a fascinating study, though, because right. to go into the future is a lot different than going to the past.
Right, right. Well, the past is just that. I mean, it's something you can really refer back to. Now, in this particular case with the young lady and her boss, were they close in age, or did they have any type of special romantic relationship this time?
Oh, no.
No?
She just thought he was a pain
mm-hmm.
that will yeah. linger. It was like, she was, they were, let's see, she was probably in her 30s, and he was close to 40. So there was maybe a 7-8 year difference.
Mm-hmm.
But
so nothing really special, though, per se.
No. I mean, they were both married, and mm-hmm. they both had kids, but I just thought, oh, my gosh, how hilariously funny.
Right.
And it stopped, and they had a great relationship. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just that he was always hovering. He was afraid something was going to happen, or, you know, he was just
right.
a nervous Nelly, you know.
Right. But she took it as, this is harassment,
yeah,
or something like,
you're, like
that.
Well, just that he was bugging her.
Right.
Why, just let me do my job. I promise I'll do a good job, you know. But he wasn't, and she always did a good job, but mm-hmm. it was hilariously funny to me.
Now, when you take people back, do you ask them, you know, in conjunction with a certain situation or problem they're having, do you tell them to go back to those lifetimes that might affect what you're going through this lifetime so that they come up with the correct answers?
Well, there's no real correct answer. And that's the one thing that you learn in this business, is there's many answers that'll work and get you where you need to be. But in that case, what I do is I ask them to go back to a lifetime that had meaning for them. And then they'll go back to that first. And then we'll look at the eyes of the people that they see in that lifetime. Some you'll know and some you won't know. I had one lady who wanted to know why she had never had children. And she really thought she wanted to have children. So she had been married and then got divorced, and she had the past life. And then she told me later, yeah, this is what happens. So I was married in that life. I had a husband and a son that I adored. The husband was my husband that I divorced. I went, wow. And our son and he were killed in a wagon accident where the horses got crazy or something and rolled mm-hmm. over, and they were killed. And she was devastated by both of those deaths. And that cellular memory was such an imprint on her and him that they couldn't get past that in their relationship, and they never ended up having children. He did have children with someone else, and she chose not to.
That's interesting,
yeah,
though. That,
it's amazing.
Right. It lasts from life to life, those memories sometimes.
Right, absolutely. And I'm sure you've read Dr. Weiss,
oh,
Dr.
Yes.
Brian Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
He's
yes.
one of my all-time favorites, and
yes,
a lovely,
he's very good.
Lovely man. I've gone and worked with some of his workshops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a joy, actually. But some of his stories are similar. I mean, you just see the craziest stuff. I had one woman who was literally yelling in my living room because she was in a tropical storm, and it was like a hurricane, and she was going to be dying.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, okay, view it from above, because you don't
right.
want them to be that hysterical. But
right.
she did get a little hysterical. We got her calmed down.
Uh-huh.
She was able to look at it. But you really don't know how it will impact people.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, I'm trained.
Right. But you never know how people are going to react. Like you
seriously.
Say.
You
right.
just don't. So she got through it, and she goes, boy, I hope I never have to experience one of those again.
Yeah. And you said, me too.
Me too. Yeah. A little scary.
Yes, right. But, I mean, that's happened too from what I've read. People that have had perhaps violent deaths or whatever, it can be very traumatic to relive that. Do you tell them to rise above that and
yes.
just observe that as a third party?
It's or like look at a movie screen
mm-hmm.
because it's easier to watch a movie even if it is of your life, right, than it is to feel that distress.
Right. Right, and people feel it too. They will feel the knife stabs or whatever it might be.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had this one lady who was really very fearful of dying young, and she was probably 23, I think, and she said that somebody was following her, and that, you know, the counselor said, well, maybe you need a drug or maybe you need this, and she didn't want to take any. So she came to see me, and we figured out that in the Roman times, sometime with all of the Romans, that she was actually killed in the same age that she was while she was experiencing all this anxiety and feeling like somebody was watching her, because somebody was watching her and actually killed her in that lifetime at the same age that she was at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I had another experience with a person where she was having so much trouble with her throat, and she went to see doctor after doctor after doctor, and finally she looked at me and she said, I think I need to be hypnotized to see what happened to my throat. And I went, okay, great. So we do it. Well, as it would be, in some castle somewhere in the world in the 1800s, her husband was not liked by somebody, so the husband and the wife were laid on the fireplace, and their head was chopped off, and it was at the age at which her throat was causing her problem. We forgave the people that did this to him. When you come back out of the hypnosis, then you can move on. She's never had a problem with her throat since.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the amazing thing that I've heard about through past life regression, is that they can immediately come out and whatever was bothering them, to relive it and, you know, forgive people or to know the cause. Once they experience that, they're done with that. They can move on in this lifetime.
Absolutely. And it's an amazing thing. But I find also that if you're capable of forgiving people in this lifetime, see, you don't have to wait and have a past life regression. You
right.
can forgive them now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think forgiveness is a key for many things in our life, and we choose not to do it.
Right. Again, it's, I guess, wanting to fight other people or, I don't know, always be right. At least some people feel that way.
Right. I think that's true. And, you know, this is the deal. Whatever's right for you is right for you.
Right.
And whatever's right for me is right for me.
Right.
And I can't change what you feel, and you can't change what
right.
I feel.
Right. Well, again, everybody has an ego, no matter who they are,
oh, sure.
and they're going to have their own opinions.
Exactly. And my thought is, you just hold the space for them to have their thoughts or their feelings, and I hold the space for me to have mine, and we're all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good attitude, though. I mean, that's the way you have to be, really, I think, to get by in life, or at least it helps.
Oh, yeah, I agree. No doubt, it's the best.
Right. Now, when people reincarnate, has it been your experience that they often reincarnate together, the same souls over and over, perhaps in different roles, even different sexes, different relationships,
yeah.
things like that?
Yeah, definitely. And you don't know why. Like, you'll meet somebody and you think, oh, I really like them. Like, you know, just,
mm-hmm.
or you meet somebody and you go, yikes, get the cross and the garlic out, as my grandma used to say. But it's because you have a sense of who that soul is long before you meet them from past life. And we come back in litters, you know, little litters.
Right, right. It's still the same. And again, it might change from lifetime to lifetime,
oh, yeah.
but again, it's the same souls, different roles. It could be one lifetime it's a brother, the next lifetime it's a sister. I mean,
or father, mother.
Right. And it can be different sexes,
Absolutely.
A lot of different things, right?
Absolutely. And I find that really interesting, too. It's kind of interesting because when you actually go back and you do it yourself and you're looking, because in order for me to become trained, I have to go through past life.
Right.
So, you know, you get to see and feel and know what that soul's going to be going through when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've done it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know where your family lies is whatever relationship they had in the past with you?
I have some of them that are still close to me. Some are newbies, you know, they came
right.
in just to hang out for a while.
Get to know
yeah,
them,
yeah.
see how it works out.
Okay, you can go now, bye-bye.
Yeah, right. Nothing personal again.
No,
but, you know.
But, you know, I've been in the prairie time. Twice I was in Egypt. I've been in Rome. I was a nun and died when I was 89 years old. I
wow.
promised I would never do that again.
Mm-hmm. And that's
and that held is true. I'm not doing
that. Yes, far from
this
it.
This life,
right?
No.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
A lot of sacrifice in that life?
Yeah, I mean, you give up a lot. Your freedom was a lot. I remember, I'll never forget this as long as I live, looking out a window. And I was in Rome in a convent, and I was looking out a window because my bedroom was down, and I had to look out. And I could see people walking and laughing. And at that time, I made the promise to me that I would not miss out on that.
Right.
And so I chose a wild and crazy life this time.
Mm-hmm. And so far it's worked out well.
I'm liking it.
Right. Well, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Again, the next lifetime might be something completely different as well.
Exactly.
Right. Now, when you actually go through it, I know you mentioned the one lady that, you know, was starting to scream and stuff. Have you yourself ever felt some immense and intense emotion as far as what you've gone through in past lives?
Yes. I experienced really horrific sadness because the soul that I loved was murdered, and I watched it. And for me, that was traumatic.
Yes.
Totally traumatic to watch that. So I remember yelling in there, like, hysterically. And so I do understand that you can have that happen. But again, the hypnotherapist took me above it and watched it. So it was easier for me to deal with. But it was part of the growth that I needed to do to go where I needed to go now in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all interesting.
Right. And beneficial as well.
Oh, sure. I did have one client. This was on a sadder note, she said she looked at all of her lives, and we forgave and did everything. But she couldn't shake that lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. It was all the same, and this lifetime was the same. And I said, well, if you look at it that way, don't you feel that you're given a choice to change? And she goes, well, no. It just appears my life's going to be this bad forever. And I went, okay, well.
Yeah.
But you see, again, it's free will.
Right.
You know, that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to make her life as miserable as it could be for this this lifetime because, well, she's done it at least three other times before.
Right.
So I don't know. You can't get people to look at it any differently, really.
Right. You just hope they learn, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully things will improve anyway.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do the hypnosis, how do you take a person under? I mean, do you get them to their happy place, or how does that work?
Well, it depends on each individual. Some people like to take a little walk through the woods. Other people like water. It just depends which kind of journey they want to take. And then I ask them what their favorite place is, where they go on vacation to relax, how do they relax. And then once we get that, I just kind of go with the flow. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
take very long, usually. There's 5% of the population that cannot be hypnotized because their control senses are so overwhelmingly large, and so they can't do it. But the 95% that can have good experience, I think. So
right.
I enjoy that.
Right. So, I mean, if somebody prefers maybe going up as opposed to going down, I mean, they might say, you know, go down this stairway. You might have to do something that's
I have to go up because people are afraid of darkness sometimes.
Right.
And even if I light the stairway as you're going down in a spiral, so
right.
I take you up in a spiral, it'll do the same thing. And a lot of times people that are really grounded, it's easier to take them up the spiral to the light than it is to take them into the dark.
Right.
Not too many people like the dark.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, I guess.
But night lights.
Yeah, it helps, you know, makes things a little more tolerable.
Exactly.
Now, when you do that, I've heard that, you know, some people will take you downstairs into a garden, and yet if that person has allergies or something, they don't want to be in the garden.
No.
So those are the things you have to
That's
discern.
What I always ask. What do you like? What do you want to do when you relax? How do you relax? You know, do you watch a movie? I can even take you out whatever your favorite movie is. Tell me the lines of the favorite movie, and as you're doing that, if I jerk your arm at the same time, you can go under.
Right.
So it just depends on the soul that I'm working
right.
with. We try to make it accommodating.
Right, right. Well, that's good, because again, some people have a certain formula, and that's all they use, but you have to be flexible.
I think you have to be flexible, and I've just learned that over the years that I've done it, you know, so I've been doing it a long time.
Yes, and very good, right? You're very good at it?
So they tell me.
Yeah, well, I guess you keep getting referrals, so
that's
a good
correct.
Thing.
So
that's
I'm
the best type of advertising and the best type of referral. I mean, the best type of approval of what you're doing, right?
Right. So people, word of mouth is your best, really. So that's how I get all my business, and that's how I've really gotten it for the last 20 years. It's only been this year I have a web page.
Right. Well, you got to get there sooner or later.
I knew it would happen. It had to be.
Right. You just took your time getting there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just real briefly, I want to remind everybody once again that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guest is Camille Procaccini. She is a professional clairvoyant and certified hypnotherapist. Now, you say you just use referral. You don't use any type of advertising. So all these years, that's all you've used?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the way it's been.
Now, one thing I want to know is you also teach being psychic. Is that possible to teach somebody to be more psychic?
Yes, actually. What I teach you is to learn how to trust your intuition and to develop that into using it more psychically. Not everybody's intended to do what I do, I mean, mm-hmm. honestly. But I feel that the masses do not trust themselves. And what I want people to do is be able to trust themselves. It's not about me doing readings for you. It's about you being able to sense that this isn't right. I don't need to go here. Please don't do this. I was speaking about the young woman who was not going to let go, and it was about money, and she was angry and everything. And what she said to me was, you know what? A long time ago, you taught me how to listen to my intuition, and I went against it. I went against it this time, knowing that I should have walked away long ago, but I wanted it to be the way I wanted it to be. And therefore, that's your guidance talking to you. So she just said, oh, well, guidance, take a hike. Good luck.
Right. See you later.
Right. Right. And but then once she came back to what was her innate knowing, at the very beginning, she knew. I mean, I talk to brides and grooms a lot of times, you know, about stuff, and they'll tell me, I knew not to get married. But I did it anyway. What is that about, folks? Run, get on a big fat white horse and get out of Dodge. Whatever it is, if you honestly know that's not where you're supposed to be, then why are you doing it?
Right. You have to respect that little voice in the back of your head sometimes where it's like literally
screaming at you,
this is not the right thing to do or whatever the situation might be. But
exactly.
People ignore it and they just continue on anyway. Again, that gets back to free will.
And I think people want control.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's the ego, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty big ego, that control freak.
Right. Now, how do you get people to become more psychic? Do they do certain exercises?
Oh, yeah. We have a great time in my classes. We do a lot of things that I take you outside of the realm of this is the way it has to be. Okay, so we might do an art project, or we might do something that you wouldn't think would be psychically connected, but it always is. And we do exercises where you learn to trust what you're writing down to help you get moving forward. It's a blast. I really have a great time teaching. I love it.
Is that like the automatic writing?
We don't do too much automatic writing. We do write. You have to be careful with automatic writing. I've had situations where people have been taken over by more than one entity at one time.
Really?
I had a person come to me and her hand would not stop writing. You really do have to protect. You do have to be careful. You know, this is not a joke. I mean, you're working with energy and you can be a vessel for calling that to you. So you want to be sure that you're in the best positive space that you can be in when you're doing it. So I teach you how to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And work with people if that's what you want to do. But I have a lot of students that I taught 10 years ago that have holistic bookstores that do readings now. So it is possible to tune it up. You know, it's like turning up a radio mic.
Right. You just got to amp it up a little bit.
I got to amp it up a little.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though. Now, do you ever feel overwhelmed? I mean, if you see it in other people, I mean, if you have a lot of messages being told you at one time, do you ever get the feeling of being overwhelmed?
No, because I'm pretty detached when I do the readings. Like, I'm not emotionally attached to the soul. So I actually, when I pray and meditate in the morning, I put on what's called the breastplate of the warrior. So from just below where I speak my truth, all the way down, I have metal front and back. Nobody gets in.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not lead, it's just metal, and that
it's just
keeps
metal,
everything out.
And it keeps everything out, so I don't have to worry about it. And I'm open in the seventh and sixth and fifth chakras, so that's your throat, the third eye, and the crown chakra, so that I can get the messages. But I don't take them in personally to me, because they're not mine to take in. My own things I could probably get overwhelmed with, but I choose to look at things pretty logically. There's, you know, getting overwhelmed, there's really no reason to. If you look at things in a fairly practical, logical way, this is, if you do this, this is the consequence.
Right.
What is it? People don't look at that. I don't understand that. I'm a pretty practical psychic, really.
Yeah, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's constant. You keep getting bombarded with different things. I mean, if you're at the store or whatever, you're not picking up what this person is thinking or experiencing, anything like that?
Sometimes I can. I forget where I was. I think I was visiting Arkansas, actually. And I saw a lady in the parking lot, and I knew she was extremely ill. I mean, like, I knew just looking at her, it just hurt me. And I made a comment to somebody I was with that, I don't know, I'm really worried about that lady's health. But mostly, I try to keep out of other people's business. It's not my business, so I try not to be there.
You've got the armor on.
Yeah, and I don't go. If you're coming to see me, that's a different thing. I open up, I give you everything. You will hear it straight up. I am very direct. I don't mince words. I just tell it to you like it is.
Right.
And I have a lot of friends that have readings with me that I'll say, you know, they need a boot in the butt.
Now, if you get some type of negative information, you know, perhaps you see death in their future, will you say that, you know, your time is not long, or I feel that it might not be too long?
Well, negative information, death. Sometimes that's not negative. So, you know, that's a perception. And so for me, this is a deal. If I see that you're ill, I will request that you go see a doctor immediately. Now, if I'm saying immediately, that means as you're walking out my driveway, you better be
on your way to the hospital.
On the way to the hospital. So for me, I'm never told the time that a soul will die. That's a contract you made between you and the force of God. And it's not my business. But I do have the right that if I get information and I have the ability to save you, and I tell you, but again, your free will says, oh, that lady's crazy, I'm not going, then I can't save you. It's, you know, sometimes you've had precognitive dreams where they actually come through. You know, I can see that over your head, Mike. But anyway, so when you have those dreams, you are compelled to tell the person, this is what I saw. This is what happened in the dream. And they can say, it was just a dream, Mike. But it's actually how you're receiving the message, okay?
Right.
And so it's factual for me. And what I say to people is, my dreams come true. I'm just giving you the message.
Right. Okay. And it's, I guess, learning to trust what you're saying, too, right?
Exactly.
I mean, people are skeptical at times.
They can be. I love skeptics. They're my favorite.
Really? You just want to prove them wrong?
Like, no, I don't prove them wrong. I just give them the information, and they go, well, now, how did you get that? I go,
Out of
the universe.
It's up there. Now, I know that you have worked with some type of police agencies in the past.
Yes, I have.
Police departments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that work? Is that something where they contact you or you contact them?
It works both ways for me. There in Ann Arbor, there was a rapist, and I had a dream. that I saw the man coming towards me, and it was in a very specific place over this bridge, and I saw the address, and I went to my friends that are police officers and said, this is what I saw, and I know that this person lives here. And so I went and worked with them. The problem was he had killed somebody, and so then they asked me, the detective said, would you come and walk the space and tell us what you're getting, what your impressions are? So then I walked the space, and I said, somebody's following me. I can feel them. And I kept turning around, and the officer said to me, what is wrong? I said, somebody's following me. So I'm taking on the energy of the person that was wounded, and so I have to deal with that. So we walked, and I said, okay, we have to go this way, because this is the way she went. And I said, but he's not following me right now. So then what happened is they told me later that she had gone the path that I had taken. He had come up over a hill, smacked her straight in her third eye, knocked her totally out. And where I stopped and said, this is the place, that's where she was hurt.
Mm-hmm. So has that happened quite a few times in your life? Have you been able to help the police?
Uh-huh. Yeah, police officers from Chicago called me, and they came, and I was able to identify a guy. And once they showed me the picture, I knew it was the guy, and then they were able to get him.
Again, somebody referred you to the Chicago Police Department?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've worked with different police, I mean, just not in Michigan, but
no,
all over the nation?
No, not in Michigan, all over. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, the hardest thing for me is, like, working with kids. I don't like working with, when there's kids. There's a little boy missing now that's just, it's killing me because I can't handle it. So little kids, really, it's harder because you just think, why?
Right.
Even I think, just why? And I know there's a reason for everything, but it's still, it's like little kids, they don't deserve that, you know?
Right. Yes, that is tough, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is.
Now, do you feel that we choose our lives, what we're going to do every lifetime, and we have a certain purpose and we need to fulfill that?
I do believe that we're here to learn different things every lifetime. And so that's why when I do the numerology, I can tell what it is you're supposed to do in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll say, okay, so this is what you're supposed to learn. How's that working for you, Mike? Because sometimes we're not even on that page. We don't even think that that's something that we're going to be doing. So we do come in. We do want to learn different things. You know, the basic thing that we're here to do is loving us, taking care of us, and then taking care of all others. Because if you're in alignment with you, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially, you can draw to you the same likeness. Everybody's a mirror. Scary thought.
Yes. Especially when I think some of the people in my life, yes, that's not necessarily a good thing, but again, you have to deal with it. So you feel that just by living, you are accomplishing what you're supposed to do, whether you know it or not?
I think a lot of times you don't really know what it is you're here to do. A lot, in my belief system, you know before you come. They drop you down to earth, and then you're hoping, I think I'd rather go back to where I came from.
Right.
But it's that part is erased so that you have to go through the process of learning in this lifetime. It's always about love for me, though.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
So once things are set in motion, we just have to deal with it as best we can.
We have to take action. You know, karma means action. So if I'm in a space, I read something the other day that said, you know, I can look at things and I can say, wow, look at this. Everything's working. Wonderful accidents, happy little accidents, whatever, whatever. And then I say, wow, that must be my destiny. Or I can look at it and say, wow, you know, Eeyore moments. Oh, poo, I'm having a bad day. Everything is fine. And I'll still say, oh, that must be my destiny. And at the end of it, it says, destinies are a dime a dozen.
I guess that's true to
a
certain extent.
When you think about it.
Right.
So we each choose one, and we all come in and do what we're going to do, and we're supposed to learn from that.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
They can reach me through my website, which is www.thepsychicnextdoor.com. Wait, nope, that's Mike.
Okay, what is the right one? I know it's all new, right?
It's all new. This is how bad it is. It's www.thepsychicnextdoor.com, all one word. And you can reach me at 734-649-1817.
Okay, great. Now, every time you do a session, how long does it generally last?
It's an hour session, at least. You know, if guidance is talking to me in the middle, I don't stop and say, oh, sorry about your luck, I can't finish that sentence. But, you know, sometimes it could be an hour and 15. Mm-hmm. All the same price.
Right, so you're willing to go over and put a little overtime in?
I do put in overtime. Mm-hmm. It's important.
Right, but you know when that hour's up, just intuitively, or...
Oh, no, I have a timer, Mike. I'll talk on forever.
Really? If they let you go, you'll just keep on doing it. It's like the Energizer Bunny, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Thank you very much. It's been very interesting, and there's a lot of questions, a lot of things we didn't even get to that I unfortunately couldn't get to, but we'll have to do this again sometime, perhaps.
I would love to come back. It'll be great.
Great. Thank you very much, Camille, for doing the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, I just want to thank my special guest this month, Camille Procaccini. She is a professional clairvoyant and certified hypnotherapist. Like I said, a very, very interesting interview. Some stuff I didn't get to, unfortunately, but it was great information anyway, so I hope you enjoyed the show. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for helping me with this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. He always does a great job, so I appreciate that. And I just want to make a special note, this edition of Metaphysically Speaking marks the fourth anniversary of this show. They said it wouldn't last, but what do they know? So I'm very happy to have done this for 4 years, and hopefully we'll keep on doing this for many more. Be sure to join us next month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. We'll be back on September 21st next month, so be sure to come back and enjoy the show at that time. I just want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope you have a great day.
WHFR FM, the only station making waves. Entering for community college. Hey, it's Jimmy. I'm back. Sorry about that. I just sort of came to there. I'm back in my normal time. So glad to be back. I'm your resident spaceman. Wait a second. Hang on. The magic notebook says this is not my regular time. I just started broadcasting again because the spaceship decided to spin down for its normal head cleaning. So something's different. Okay, the notebook says that I am broadcasting at a different time altogether. Wow. Okay. Well, then I need to explain myself.